Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're about to listen to the re-released Bananas for Bonanza, Episode 8. This is Andy Daly. Hello! Here on this free feed, I'll be re-releasing all of the back episodes of Bananas for Bonanza, one every other week. If you want to hear new episodes ad-free, please subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/AndyDaly. The entire Bananas for Bonanza archive is also waiting for you there, and you can access lots and lots of bonus content. So do that. Okay, thank you. Enjoy!
Yeah! Bonanza, it's the finest show alive. So consult your TV guide, get your great outdoors inside, take some Ponderosa pride, and forever may it ride. Bananas for Bonanza.
All right, Ryan, who for some reason signs his emails Ryan, I'm going to start the show with a yeehaw like always. So make the necessary adjustments to the equipment. Here we go. Yeehaw! Oh, wait a minute. What was that, Mutt Taylor? Mutt Taylor is always firing off some kind of weapon at the beginning of the show, and this time looked a little different to me. What do you got?
I got a Rambo compound bow that I just shot into the side of my tractor trailer for shits and griggles.
Wow. Now, Rambo, when he...
I like Rambo. That's Rambo. A grandpa and a Rambo. Rampa. That's what they call me.
That's what they should have called that last movie. When he does it, there's an explosive device on it, isn't there? Isn't that right?
Yeah. Well, wait till next week.
Holy shit. Oh, man. All right. Well, good. Hey, folks, I'm going to say the thing I say at the top of the show every time. Hello, friend. Come on in. The gate is open wide. And that is, once again, from the lyrics that was later written to the music of the theme song of Bonanza. And as we've discussed before, those lyrics are an awkward fit. Okay, welcome, folks, to episode 8 and 6 of Bananas for Bonanza with Dalton Wilcox. That's me. I'm Dalton Wilcox, a real working cowboy. I am the poet laureate of the West and our nation's foremost collector and chronicler of the wit and wisdom of the West. And on each episode of this podcast, we discuss an episode of the classic Western TV show Bonanza, which sadly rode off into the sunset after only 14 seasons. And today, we are up to Season 1, Episode 8, the Philip Dietesheimer story. Dietesheimer story.
And, the Dutchman! That Dutchman!
Yeah. You just call him the Dutchman. He says at the end of the episode...
He is a Dutchman with a Transylvanian accent. It's really impressive.
Is that what that accent was? I was trying to place it throughout the show.
Yeah.
But he said at the end, he said, hey, future people who want to talk about me, feel free to just call me the Dutchman. So I guess we can do that. We've got a wonderful guest we're going to introduce. But first, I want to check in with my regular co-host. We got Mutt Taylor. Hello, Mutt.
Ladies.
Mutt, oh, just to the ladies. Gentlemen. Yeah. Gentlemen, don't listen to Mutt when he speaks. Throughout this episode, he'll only be talking to the ladies.
Uh-huh.
Mutt Taylor is the guitarsman of the Journeyman Country Western Band. And you're riding around in a Peterbilt?
That's right. I'm living in the tractor trailer and driving in the cab. And if I feel like camping, I camp in the cab because it feels like I'm not at home.
Staying one step ahead of this virus.
Yeah.
Good for you. Outrunning it. All right. And then we've got Amy Sleverson, a Christian entrepreneur. Amy Sleverson. Hi, Amy. How are you?
Hi. I am so excited because my multi-level marketing company, Lot's Daughters, has so many new product lines as a result of this episode.
Oh, really?
And yes. Whoa. Yes. It was so inspiring. And that was, and I think a lot of it was because God or God's son wasn't featured in this show. And he was within me.
Oh, yeah.
Little Joe.
Yes.
Little Joe's within all of us.
This was an unusual episode of Bonanza in that half the regular cast wasn't in it at all. You know, sometimes there'll be a thing. We've had it to happen before where Hoss will say, well, folks, I'm off to San Francisco. Goodbye for the rest of the episode. And that happens in the first 5 minutes. But this, we didn't even catch a glimpse of Ben Cartwright or Little Joe. Not even once.
Yeah, and you never saw Little Joe, but somehow he managed to mill hundreds of pieces of giant timber in a single night, like he's a cobbler's elf of timber milling.
Yeah.
Into honeycomb.
Huh? Yeah, that's right. They made a honeycomb.
Well, we're getting way ahead of ourselves now.
It's exciting.
Yeah. But so, Amy, now, so this is something that often happens. You go back. Now, you're a big old Bonanza fan, but you're just like all of us. You're revisiting these episodes in order, and sometimes you'll become inspired by what you've seen to come up with a new Christian home good, which people can buy through your multi-level marketing system, which has now the two levels, just you and your husband, right?
Right. I mean, we're looking to expand, but okay. So far we've got to move a lot of the product that we already have in the garage. So, but now I'm thinking we're going to get into grocery delivery to widows, people whose their husbands have died at work, and it's called Victory Pantry, and it's where you're in you know, your husband's died in an important cause, and then you get a little bag of groceries, send your pan of groceries to your friend, you know.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Finally, Christian grocery delivery. I don't, you know, I'd like to know that the person delivering my groceries is a person of faith.
Instacart, you don't know. You don't know where they're from. And then they might try to say, oh, I'm going to exchange that flour you wanted for some other kind of flour. But we won't exchange it. We just won't bring it.
Do you guys deliver to tractor trailers? Because I could just as easily drive to a grocery store, but I'd just as soon have it delivered, especially by a Christian.
Of course, we definitely deliver to truck stops and any rest areas, just as long as you put it on our Christian credit card, which is a federally recognized Christian credit union. We also do extractions of dark spirits with your mortgage lending, and it's a 21% interest if you're cash poor.
You said federally recognized, but it's not federally backed. It's just the federal government acknowledges this.
It's recognized.
I see.
People, they have sent us mail.
The government's aware of you. That's good to
hear.
And by the way,
yes,
that's the perfect time to extract a dark spirit when you're refinancing your mortgage. Just get it all done in one blow. Mm-hmm. But I want to get our guest in here, ladies and gentlemen. We have a wonderful guest this time. Each week we bring in somebody new to discuss an episode. And sometimes it's somebody I know and sometimes it's somebody I don't know. And this is that latter case. This is a fellow by the name of John Gaberman. How you doing, John? Correct me if I got your name wrong.
Yeah, it's pronounced Gabris. Thanks for having me, Dalton. Nice to meet Mutt and Amy. Pleasure meeting all you guys. This is exciting. Thanks for giving me a platform for getting my shit out there, get my stuff out there.
We do every once in a while cuss on this show. You feel free. What do you mean? What do you do? You're an actor and podcast man. And what's your story, John? What do you want to get out there?
Well, I tell my friends I'm an actor. My accountant knows I'm a podcaster, and I call myself a comedian. I guess I was supposed to, obviously, quarantine kind of hit with the COVID-19 stuff, and then there's all this like kind of police stuff that's going on. But really, I'm supposed to be out promoting my new show right now, but it's not. We haven't been able to film it, so I had this slot booked already. But I'd like to do like a deep, deep plug now to check out Impractical Jokers Presents Body Swap Sushi.
What the hell is happening?
That's supposed to be the show I'm airing on True TV right now, but because of delays in production and like the premise of our show, it's been punted to who knows, Q3, Q4,
They scheduled you as a guest on this podcast to promote your show, and they scheduled that so long ago that now it turns out the show hadn't been able to be made, and everything's been thrown off. Okay.
Yeah, so it was supposed to be like, I'll just give you the rundown. It's so I go to body sushi restaurants where like
What the hell is a body sushi restaurant? God damn it.
It's where like rich businessmen eat sushi off of the nude woman.
Oh, I did this with Chris Christopherson one time.
Yes.
He was the nude woman.
See, and then that's where we're playing with that too. So I have the Impractical Jokers, those guys who can get anything greenlit at True TV. They got me on there, and so it's presented by them. And we go to these restaurants, and then when the sushi comes out, it's me. I'm laying there, and the sushi's on my body. And we see how long it takes for the group of horny businessmen to realize and kind of where we go from there, you know?
Wow. My husband loves Impractical Jokers because it tricks people into feeling bad.
Yeah, you're just going through your day feeling fine or however you're feeling. Then all of a sudden, somebody tricks you into feeling bad. That's funny.
John.
You think one thing's happening, but another thing is, and then you feel ashamed.
I love it.
John, has anyone ever mistaken your little wiggly for some shrimp or some such?
Therein lies another. So there's like the third act, as they say, is actually a game against me because they hit me with an injection of 100 milligrams of Cialis before I go out there.
Oh.
And a big part of the game for me is.
So tempura.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm trying not to get erect the whole time. And part of the game is I have a little shrimp tail, spirit gum to the tip of my little wiggly, as you called it.
Yeah.
And that if anyone grabs that, I'm immediately disqualified.
Whoa. Wow.
Spirit gum. That stuff sticks on there, but good. You got a shrimp? Spirit gummed onto your pecker?
I just got the tail.
What a nightmare.
It's still there. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, you got to get that off with alcohol, which in and of itself you don't want to put on there.
Hey,
man,
Dalton,
man.
How do you know so much about theater stuff and grease paint and stuff?
Well, I only know about that in particular because sometimes I'll glue a mustache on if I accidentally shave my mustache, which I've done several times. Because you know how it goes. If you accidentally shave off a corner of it, the whole thing's got to go. And then I'll just glue one on for a few weeks until I grow back a new one. Okay. That's very common cowboy practice. You'll find most cowboys, half the cowboys out there on the range got just temporarily gluing on a sideburn because they took one off by accident.
I crocheted.
I'm shaving. You understand, I'm shaving in the reflection from the bottom of a tin can out there on the range. It's not easy.
I crocheted a beard so I could do direct sales at sports bars.
What color a beard did you make?
I made it as a dark brown to go with my hair. My hair is kind of a dishwater brown.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about
and
right.
I didn't get any sales, but boy, did I have a good time.
Wow, I didn't know we all had this in common, because sometimes I've singed off my mustache in a campfire, but I don't have a problem, because I can grow a beard or a mustache simply by kind of doing a full body tense, like if I make a bowel movement, that kind of tension will also force hair out of my face, and I can just watch this. Watch.
Oh my God.
Wow. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That was nuts.
That's like, you're like Kato. The woolly,
yeah, that was like the woolly bully like Magnet Man.
Yeah, I mentored Sam Elliott.
I have kind of the opposite. I can't shave, but in order to present a clean cut face every once in a while, I have to cover my whole beard in like a chin putty and like fake skin and stuff for when I go out for auditions for guys with clean shaven faces, CEOs. I'm going on a lot of auditions for CEOs, business types.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So you wear a bald cap for your chin.
Yeah, I wear a bald cap for my chin, and a lot of people say it makes me look like Jay Leno, Brandon Lee. Like my head is just a little Max Headroomy, but I can't shave my face. I just break out instantly if I try to shave this face.
Well, that's what one thing I was going to say. No offense, John, but you don't look like a woman, and so when to fool somebody into thinking that it's a woman underneath all that sushi, they must put on hundreds of pieces of sushi. You must be covered head to toe.
Oh, I'm getting the full boat. But also with like certain angles and posture, and you know, you can make pictorial, like with just contouring and shading, this hair and makeup team, I come out and it's confusing at least for a few seconds.
Fact that you're silent, that can be very womanly as well as laid out like you're a victim of something's happened.
You're not wrong. Because I know that I have a real nose for pheromones, and I can smell a woman about 600 yards. It's usually the case. If you're covered in sushi, I think that fish is not unlike coffee grounds to cocaine. You wouldn't know. And I don't know anything about that. And don't look in my trailer. But I think that has something to do with it. People wouldn't know you as a fella.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying I'm smelling male and female fish, but no real human pheromones underneath, because yellowtail and Toro, that stuff's very overpowering to the olfactory sense.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Sure. The old factories. I don't know. I don't know how he brought old factories into it, but I like talking about it. I have a photo collection of photos of old factories. Anyway, hey, Amy, you talk a lot about how women are supposed to be quiet. Do you and your husband have any sort of an arrangement like that? Or you know what I mean?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
What I do most of the time, if we have anything to talk about, is I lay under a blanket, and then he stands over me, and then just he shouts and he really enunciates it. So I hear it and I take it in, and then when I feel like I need to get a breath, I take the blanket off and then I go under again. And then, you know, he tells me what he wants for dinner and things like that.
And that's a conversation.
We're close. We're very close.
Now, when you, I don't understand. When you have the blanket on over your head, that's when you can say the thing you want to say?
No. It's so that I hear his message and I'm not distracted by any other, source of information. Like, what if I saw, something outside of what he's saying, and I might take it in that he wants spaghetti for dinner tonight.
Right. And he doesn't want to hear, I know. Oh, did you say that? I didn't hear it. I was looking out the window.
Yes.
I get it.
I don't have a phone for that very reason. No phone for me.
Amy, do you guys have a shorthand? Does he come in and like point at the blanket and you know that means it's time to lay down and put it over your head and he's going to explain what he'd like for dinner?
I like being under the blanket. You know, so many people say, women, it's against women's rights and stuff. And I say, have you ever been under a blanket? It's nice.
It is nice. People do it willingly just about every damn night. You know, yeah, blankets are wonderful. Okay, I figured you, the two of you might have had some kind of an arrangement. I didn't know it was going to be like that, but yeah. So you guys, and you're spending all your time together. You guys are you doing this quarantine business everybody's talking about?
Oh yes, but that doesn't mean that we're not staying active. And that was one of my new inspirations for the show. You know, so much physical violence in Bonanza, and so sure. I'm gonna start like a physical fitness thing for Christians. And it's called, but it's also self-defense, and it's called The Other Cheek. And so what it is in every fight, you're in the right. You are the righteous one.
Yep.
So you can either hit or let them hit you, but no matter what, you've done the right thing. Like a car.
Oh, right.
I like that. That's a good idea.
It's all about ethical, the ethical nature of fighting, physical fighting. My husband and I are working on it.
Cart righteousness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Beautiful. You guys are a good team. You come up with good names for stuff there, Mutt. Hey, don't work too much on fighting. That would be my advice. Hey, John, are you quarantining or what are you doing? Harry, what are you doing? Are you doing all that nonsense? I'm not.
I'm quarantining. I've been keeping busy, though. Guesting on all these podcasts is forcing me to watch assorted media, as everyone has. Like, you guys are doing the Bonanza thing, and a lot of other actors are even turning to their own old shows as a way to get even more money out of a sitcom or a TV show that ran for 5 to 10 years.
Hey, you haven't done a podcast of a show about Deadwood called Deadwood Boys, have you?
I have not yet. That's your plan now?
No. I'm saying these guys, they already do it. We had a guest on last week who was on it, and he's trouble. Okay. He's trouble. Don't do it. And take it as an affront if you do.
Yeah, don't.
All right. Yeah, I won't. Hey, I'm in over my head. I thought a lot of these shows were going to be half hours, kind of fun or interesting to watch, and not like blurry, weirdly audio mixed 45 minutes of.
I think it's closer to 49, friend. This is just back when they took no commercials.
Just landing straight in the middle of a story where you're not even sure who the characters are. And I'm guessing on like, I'm doing Michael Imperioli's Soprano show. I'm doing Jenna Fisher's The Office show. I'm doing Kevin Spacey's after show for a House of Cards. I'm doing Chris D'Elia's wrap up show for Undateable. I got all these podcasts. I lined them up back in the day when I had this show planned on coming out. So I've been keeping busy watching so much fucking content. I'm doing the Woody Allen movie hour with Louis C.K. So I'm fucking I'm busy as all hell.
I got to say, you really honor your commitments. No matter what comes up, you honor those commitments.
Yeah, has Cosby contacted you about a Cosby Show rewatch yet?
Yeah, I guess he still owns the rights to Little Rascals, and he's going to be doing Little Rascals on the Peacock Network and needs an official podcast wrap-up show, so... I have meetings. I've been having a lot of meetings with the cause, talking through the plexiglass on the phone and getting shit together. He says it's for COVID reasons. I think it's official as part of the federal building that he's currently living in.
Oh boy, I'll bet you he is just as hilarious as ever through the plexiglass. Well, now I do. You reminded me, you was talking about the Deadwood Boys. I want to give people a quick, update as to what's going on this weekend. We're recording this episode on July the 1st, and as you know, on July the 4th, we are having the 2020 First Annual Wilcox Ranch Exposition of Cowboy Poetry, Wit, Wisdom, Western Music, Beans, Neckerchiefs, Gonorrhea, and Rope Tricks. In addition to all of that, I am now advertising that this event is going to be also a very exciting armed standoff with the law, because... Here, I'm just outside of Tombstone, Arizona, and the law has basically said that stuff like what I'm planning cannot go forward. So the sheriff called me, says they're going to be blocking off all the roads to Wilcox Ranch. So guests, number one, cowboys don't need roads. I'm recommending you guys come in through the, you know, just ride through the San Pedro River Valley on horseback, come on over the mountains there if you like. But if you do need to take the roads, please, I'm advising people to come heavily armed and prepared to take out a few sheriff's deputies. And as I think I mentioned last time, the sheriff told me a while ago that he considers his deputies pretty expendable. So don't worry about that. And this is going to be a no masks, no hand washing event. As I said, we're going to have a French kissing booth, a dirty spoon chili tasting, a coughing contest. The Journeymen are going to play. Amy Sleverson's going to have a Christian Home Goods booth.
I'm Bartleby be Moltay. Selling rocks.
You're going to be selling rocks?
Rocks, yeah. That you can throw at people or even a larger rock as a fun game for a whole family to play. We're going to be pushing a large rock up a hill, and that's, you pay to do that. And then just when you get to the top of the hill, the rock rolls back down, and then then they start again.
That's just wow. Like old Sisyphus, right? Didn't he have that problem?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, I wanted to say that. Go ahead.
Oh, well, they win when they find passion and meaninglessness.
That's great. Hey, didn't somebody eat his liver? What was that, him?
No, that was another guy.
Okay. That what were you going to say, Mutt?
Well, just that I'll be still got scheduled a Mexican standoff with myself and two mirrors, but my promise is that I will not fire first, so I expect to be there, you know, come on by any time of the day, I expect to be there.
Yeah, I keep telling people we're going to have a one-man Mexican standoff with this thing, and folks are so excited about it. Yeah. They can't wait to see it. Yeah. Bartleby Mulcahy is going to be selling sand paintings. Chip Junction is going to be doing a live demonstration of Blue Dead Redemption. Russell Shine is going to be in a dunk tank full of piss, which I've been filling up myself for a couple weeks now. Mano Agopian says he will be on hand to give a lecture on toxic masculinity, and that is scheduled for 5 a.m. And then we've got... the last ever appearance of Cram Daniels and the Deadwood Boys. That will be the final time anyone ever sees them in public.
Yeah, and I want to real quick say something about them. I did go on their show, and I poured a pint glass of Coors on their mixer, so they ain't gonna be having, they're going to be having some technical problems, let's just say.
That's our rival podcast, John. We don't like them. But, hey, John, why don't you come out also? Is there something you'd like to do at the festival? I'm still booking acts.
I could run people through like a Roman candle show, sort of like a throwback to old burlesque slash kind of the danger of fireworks. I've got a cop buddy here who's just been dropping off cases and cases of fireworks outside my house. So I could bring those down, fill my ass up with Roman candles, light them up, you know, put one in my mouth, shoot them both out at different ways, go hands. I could do one where I could put one in my ass, one in my mouth, and do cartwheels. People love a lot of this shit.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic. So consider yourself booked. And, we did move all of the events indoors recently. So, and that's not, have nothing to do with the weather. It's going to be a beautiful day. But, all right. So anyway, great. We got John Gabers with Roman candles in his ass. Okay. Well, I'm glad I got that announcement out. How long have we been doing this, for crying out loud?
About hour 20, I think.
Happened again. Well, tell you what, we're going to take a break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about Season 1, Episode 8, the Philip Dedesheimer story. That's an episode of Bonanza. You guys ready? You feel good about taking a break now?
Woohoo!
Yes.
Here we go. Here comes the break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, we're back from our break. Buy whatever that was, please. Okay, here we go. Episode 8, the Philip Dietesheimer story. This episode is most noteworthy, as we mentioned a bit, for the things that it does not have. Half the regular cast of the show is missing entirely. There is
really?
No comic. Yeah.
Wait, who is it? Who are the characters on the show? Who are the characters that are supposed to be in here?
John, you're telling me you don't know. Wait a minute. You're not a Bonanza fan at all?
No, I don't watch any of this shit. I have to I just watch the one episode I need to for the podcast that I'm guesting on.
Shit. No, what are you talking about? Shit.
I mean, stuff, things, media. I don't watch. You said I could cuss, and then all of you call me out for the first curse I made.
It's not the cursing. It's the context.
It's the tone.
This is up there.
The tone.
This is the finest television show what's ever been made.
Yeah, context matters.
Really?
Bonanza? Uh-huh.
You think that this is the finest? I mean,
it's the finest show alive.
This is episode 6, and it's got an 8. What is this? Yeah. Unpronounceable title name for an episode 8.
Now, you have a point there. They should have just called it The Dutchman Story.
The Dutchman. They should have called it The Dutchman.
Or call it literally. Why is that character, who I thought was an important character in this, he's just a guest for this episode, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right. Well, all right. I'm sorry to hear that. Damn if we can't get a Bonanza fan as a guest on this show, for crying out loud. But Bonanza is the greatest television show that was ever made. Some say it's the only television show, really.
Right.
And, so this is episode 8.
It's every television show, and literally because we think they just took scripts from unused pilots and threw them in.
Yeah.
And now I'm starting to see that maybe these were just like narrative documentary dramas about historical figures that they're shoehorning into Bonanza. I'm thinking now.
Well, our friend Bartleby Mulcahy pointed out the episode that he was discussing with us that the Cartwrights were incidental to the plot and did not need to be in that episode at all. And I can't get that out of my head because that's very true here. In this episode, Adam is a mining engineering expert, which he's never been before. And Hoss.
And probably which one's won't again.
Which one's Adam? Is he the hot one?
He's the Han Solo one.
Yeah. He's a fucking stud.
Oh, wait till you see Little Joe, man. But you didn't.
No kidding.
Little Joe.
Wait, the hottest character on the show is someone named Little Joe? I'm uncomfortable with that.
He's a grown-up.
It's a he, too?
Yeah. Oh, there's no regular women on this show.
All the women have died.
Yeah, all the women are dead.
Well, I do like a woman gets a prominent role in this as the person who's crying about her dead husband for 50 straight minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. She's our woman of the week.
The victory in paradise pantry. That's when she would get a little box of groceries.
Oh, that's right. That's what that's from.
Yeah.
The owner of the mine says, send the widows the usual box of groceries. Which there had to be a less heartless way to phrase it. Maybe just leave out usual, you know.
I think also if your show is wildly vacillating between casts from episode to episode, you need to really lay out who the bad guy is in an episode, and no better way than to say, send those widows a bag of groceries. That's like, we know, oh, you're the bad guy, the two handsome guys, and then Mr. Niedermeyer or whatever, those are the good guys.
And Philip Dietesheimer, and he's a real person.
That's right.
He's based on a real person?
Yeah.
He is, absolutely.
This is history.
You think they would have made up that name?
It's living history.
Bonanza is the state of Israel, where the fires come down from Virginia City, which is Sodom and Gomorrah, and then burns through the map. And that's that we're trying to... The reason... Pa and Little Joe aren't there is because sometimes you can't see God and you just have to have faith.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. Sometimes you can't see God.
Is the mine in every episode? Is the mine a thing? It feels like this whole town is built around mining. And is
we've never seen that mine entrance before, Fred. So okay.
The elevator again.
Nope, never.
The elevator never. That had to have been difficult to build on a soundstage. All right,
it looked like it was used for Brigadoon.
Maybe.
Hey, let me just quickly explain for John and for anybody else that might be listening to this who is just as ignorant about Bonanza. Normally, the show is Ben Cartwright. He is the father, and he has buried three wives. And by each of those wives, he has had a son. The first one was Adam, and then there's Hoss, and then there's Little Joe. And they all have three different mothers. And they have had apparently genetically passed down to them certain personality traits from their mothers, which makes them three totally different guys. And it's the four of them living out on the Ponderosa, raising cattle and growing timber. This is during the Comstock load. And there's silver mining going on. There's all these miners coming in and mining barons coming in. And Virginia City is nearby. And there's tons of city slickers in Virginia City. And that's what's going on in Bonanza. But every episode is like a completely different show. So that's part of what's exciting about it. Makes sense to you,
yeah,
John?
Yeah, I have a question real quick. Now, in the opening credits of this episode, it goes Pernell Roberts, then Dan Blocker, then Michael Landon, then Lauren Green. Is that how they always do it, or are they giving the other two short shrift because they weren't in the episode?
Oh, man. I have to admit, I have not been tracking the order with which... always distracted by how long we get to look at them.
That's
in
true.
The opening credits.
Oh, yeah.
They just, you know, the fella just has to stand there while his name is on the screen, and it's not... It's a live shot of just a fella standing there kind of smiling for a long time.
Yeah. So the main characters are four men, and the only women like who are represented in the main cast are their deceased mothers, is like part of their backstory.
Yeah.
And is there a regular woman that's in the cast?
No.
A regular woman.
And sometimes not even a woman.
No.
That's true. Well, there have been,
unless they're helping, unless they're a helper, just like in Genesis. God shall not be, man shall not be alone, and I will make her the helper. And then sometimes women come on and they cook.
Yeah, and John, there is no women featured prominently throughout the series, but there is a hideous racial stereotype, so don't worry.
Oh, all right.
I don't know who you're referring to, but sometimes we do have a very comical and very appropriate and very sensitive performance from Hop Sing, the Chinese cook.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the misrepresentation of the Dutchman in this episode.
Oh,
and I was I don't think now's the time to center Dutch racism.
Oh, yeah, probably not. But yeah, from time to time, a woman will pop up on the show and it seems like she's going to hang around. Like the episode will end and it'll seem like, well, there's no reason we wouldn't see her in the next episode, but then we never see her again.
And that's mostly because she dies.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And is this like Numbers, where the math whiz guy is an integral part of each episode? He helps them solve problems using math.
Let me stop you right there. No, no.
No. It's only in this episode that Adam Cartwright is a mathematical genius.
Oh, okay. That feels convenient, but I like it.
Or featured prominently, to be fair. We haven't seen much from him.
And we learned that science is expensive.
That's true. That's one of the big takeaways of this episode. Science is expensive. This episode also, by the way, has some wonderful guest actors, as it always does, and I've really taken to looking into their backgrounds. The bad guy in this episode, Andrew Holloway, he is the owner of the Ophir Mine, and that's an actor by the name of R.G. Armstrong. He played the Sandman in the Metallica video, The Sandman.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Sleep with one eye open.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, go check it out. He looks crazy in it. He aged in a way that no one has ever aged. He has the most extraordinarily wrinkled face that it's possible for a man to have. And so they put him in that video. In fact, his face is so wrinkled that he also played Prune Face in the Dick Tracy movie that
came out
in 1990.
You know, when they first bring him in, I think he's her fiance. I couldn't put it together at first.
I thought they were together too, because he was older and of authority, and he could have purchased her online.
Yeah, but that was it. The show opens with a father-daughter scene, and she's celebrating her engagement to a fella named Gil. Oh, by the way, also R.G. Armstrong, you might find this interesting, Mutt Taylor, also played the role of Louis Vendredi in Friday the 13th, the series.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he looks very familiar. Now, I'm not as familiar with the series because I don't watch any other television but Bonanza, but from the movies, I feel like I understand.
Yeah. Charles Cooper played Gil. He was a Klingon in Star Trek V and Next Generation. He was on Cop Rock, and he was in a very strange movie called The Rabbit Test, in which Billy Crystal...
Billy Crystal has a baby. I know that movie.
Yeah. That's a movie that Joan Rivers wrote and directed it, and Billy Crystal has a baby in it.
Yeah, real lost to time. Lost to time.
Yeah. A spoiler alert, I'll tell you the last line of that movie is, "Oh my God, it's a girl."
they should recycle old movies and make a new series of Bonanza. So we could just have that used as a new show.
I know, we've been trying to get that made as Moonanza, where the boys colonize the moon to do a Comstock load on the moon.
Yep, silver mining on the moon.
Yeah.
And then finally, Mala Powers was Helene Holloway, and she was on a television show called Appointment with Adventure. Now, in my view, it somewhat undercuts the adventure if you had to make an appointment for it. And she also played Daniel Boone's wife on The Magical World of Disney. Boy, I'll bet you those were some really powerful scenes between Daniel Boone and his wife.
You know, you have an appointment because if it's an appointment, I mean, you have a point. And you have an appointment. If it's an appointment with Adventure, it implies that Adventure has a secretary. And that just doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah, that's right.
I tell God to schedule all my tragedies between 3 and 4. I'm asleep.
You should put that on a coffee mug.
That's when I take a nap.
Loopholes.
Yeah, you'd rather wake up to bad news. All right. Well... Hey, I'm going to show the first clip of this episode here.
Take your headphones off, John. These get real loud.
Yeah, I haven't mastered it. Wait a minute. There's a bunch of things I need to do here. I got to expand this here, and then I'm going to say share screen, and then I'm going to say share computer sound, and then I'm going to do this, and then you're seeing my screen?
Yep.
Oh, right. God. Jesus. How many tabs are open? RedTube, Pornhub, OnlyFans,
all Christian porn. That's impressive. Wow.
You should get a woman to quietly help you.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. All right, what are the tabs? They're all fine. All right, we got. So this scene now. This is the very first scene of the episode. Helene is getting engaged to Gil. This is her engagement party. Gil is the superintendent of the mine, and his father-in-law to be owns the mine. And he comes over and just right immediately expresses the fact that he fucked up. Let's watch this. This is something else.
Forget about being superintendent for one night, Gil. The mine will run all right without you. I sent the night shift back to work on the third level.
You what? I told you we couldn't work the third level without new timbering.
Dad, you promised no mine talk.
And that whistle indicates there has been a mine collapse.
Yeah. It's the happiest signifier of tragedy you'll ever hear.
Men are trapped.
It sounds like a high-pitched banshee just laughing.
Yeah, a little satyr with, like, goat legs comes out and just plays a cute little note to let you know that your fiancé is dead.
It's like the end in A Great Escape when they all die, and then it just cuts to bum-bum, bum-bum, ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, it's a lot like that. Well, I... I thought that was a pretty striking moment where he just walks right up to him and says, "Hey, don't you worry about anything. I fixed it so all kinds of people are going to die." And that's exactly what happens.
I miss this about shows when stuff would just be really laid out clearly within three lines of dialogue. Now we know exactly what's going to happen. And that's kind of, it's kind of nice and comforting to know, you know, there's no temporal shifts, no POV swaps, no voiceover to confuse you. It's just, hey, here's what we're dealing with for the next 49 minutes.
Yeah, characters should speak in exposition, not meaning or emotion.
No time for metaphors and similes. Just give me the fucking, just read me the stage directions.
Well, you know who didn't get that note?
I'm a business owner. I'm a business owner. I don't have time.
Yeah, just come right out and say it. Yeah. The Dutchman, though, he speaks in poems whenever he opens his mouth. Well, anyway, after this scene, we go straight to the opening credits, and here's a little piece of trivia I found online about this episode. This episode is the 8th episode of Bonanza to feature the burning map in the opening credits. Whoa. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
All right.
And this is the 8th episode of Bonanza.
That's correct.
That's how it lines up. Wow.
I guess so. Now, they go to the mine. They rush to the mine. Engagement party's been ruined. They run over to the mine, and Adam has to punch a guy who's upset because his kid brother is in the mine. He just punches him out. And, it turns out that third level collapsed. And what happens? That's when Holloway says, "Well, make sure each of the widows gets the usual box of groceries." Which I'm telling you, I feel like you could say, "Please send the widows some groceries." Just say it like that.
Yeah. And but then the person would be confused and go, "Oh, you mean the usual box?" And then the cat would be out of the bag. Sorry.
Yeah, you really got to lay it down thick that this happens frequently. And he's
Well, it happens so frequently that Paradise Pantry, the business model I'm setting up, is specifically for people who lose their life at work and their spouses. You know somebody who died on the job, you send them their left loved ones a box of pantry items, like, you know, stuff that you really need, eggs and beans and milk.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I think if you're a widow and you receive some eggs and beans and milk, and then later you're still crying over your dead husband, a person would be in their rights to say, "What more do you want?"
You could make just meals alone with those three things. Have you ever had egg, bean, milk, stew?
Oh, man.
Oh, there's nothing
better. That's a one-pot meal, and you don't even need to cook it.
Yeah. I've tried to make it countless times, but kept accidentally making bean omelets. Oh. I wanted to make an egg, bean, milk stew, but it kept coming out as a bean omelet. It was very frustrating. Yeah. I need to figure out the pan heat.
That's what it is. Well, okay. So it turns out that Adam and the Cartwright boys are supplying the timber to the mine, and that's why Adam is involved and intimately involved in this. And he knows all. Now, he doesn't just show up with the wood. He's done the calculations. He's done the math. He knows all about how the engineering of timbering in a mine works, because they've got trees on their land. It makes perfect sense. And he figures he'd like to have a conversation with the Dutchman, the man who is sort of engineering the timbering. He wants to talk to him. Right? I'm skipping over a bunch because we somehow gabbed about all kinds of stuff. Hey, but there's one funny thing. I like this expression. The guy that Adam had to punch out earlier comes back later and he says, "I don't blame you for poking me in the whiskers."
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
The most relatable scene in this episode for me is I don't know if we're there yet, but the thick-necked moose character's name, Ox Cartwright, or whatever it might
Hoss Cartwright.
Hoss Cartwright.
Is he the big thick neck guy who orders a second steak?
Second steak and he won't pay for it.
He says, "I can't figure out who's going to pay for this on an empty stomach. You better send me a second steak."
And now that guy is in every episode. He is a regular character on this.
He is, unless he's not.
Yeah.
Until he dies in real life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He is
and
one of the Cartwrights.
And somebody sends his wife a bag of groceries.
Yeah, I guess so. He's a Cartwright. Yeah.
That gives me promise to see that leading men could be guys who seem like they may have just taken off a blue coveralls from their plumber or garbage man job and then turned around and became a lead actor of a TV show.
Oh,
You love to see just a thick-necked guy with a calloused hand who just randomly gets to be a TV lead. That excites me. That excites me that big, doughy, thick-necked freaks have a chance in Hollywood.
Yeah, well, he is the character of Haas has unlimited strength, and he has a very weak mind.
Has the ability to fight like a cartoon cat, right? Like he gets rolled up in a ball with a bunch of people fighting, but when they peel him off, he's still fine. Maybe he has like one hair standing.
Yeah, he's
out
the Popeye of the Ponderosa.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Except it's steak and not spinach. And we're gonna show that brawl. That brawl was something else. All right. Now, but I got to get through some of this plot for crying out loud. What happens here? There's a bunch I could skip, actually, now that I'm looking at it. Most of it's not important. Okay, big thing happens. Adam and Philip Dietesheimer, the mining engineer, and Gil, the mining superintendent and fiancé of Helene, go into the mine together to check it out, and damn it if it doesn't collapse on all three of them, and they are all, for 100% sure, going to die, except that Haas uses his super strength to climb through the rocks. He just climbs through rock, and he lifts a gigantic log off of Adam and the Dutchman, and they come to safety, but Gil has perished in the mine.
Can we talk about how badass it is when Haas is like, no one could stop me from going down there to rescue them. And then it's revealed that it's an elevator. like kind of takes the wind out of his, and he's, I'll rescue them. Like slowly being lowered.
Well, not only that, he has to call to somebody off screen to lower him.
Hey,
all right. Use the pulley system to send me slowly and safely down there to save my brother.
Just two guys in Wizard of Oz fleeces with cigarettes hanging out of their mouth, cranking the fucking rope down for them.
That's about right.
That's also a part of the turn your other cheek workout zone is that we provide just rocks to throw at things, but then also you can get pickaxes and then a lot of punching and kicking.
Oh,
yeah, excellent. That sounds good. I'd like a self-defense. I'd like to carry around a pickaxe for self-defense. Not a bad idea. People take it real serious.
Yeah. Amy, I didn't realize when you said you got some business ideas from this episode how one-to-one they were going to be and how specific to this.
There's no B. It's just A to A. A to A. Oh, it's exactly A. What it is.
A to A and everything in between. I love it. Okay, so what is it? Haas has to tell her that her fiance is dead, and she has a big dramatic scene. Man, oh man, does she have a big reaction to that? Helene does, and then she goes back and they tell her father that Gil is dead, and he has, you know how sometimes people will put the letter H in front of, you know, they'll really pronounce the H in a word like what, W-H-O-T? He's got the most pronounced what that I've heard in a long time, and I appreciate it. And then,
was Gil's death revealed by like, and where's Gil? He didn't make it. What do you mean? He's still down in the mine? No, Dad. He's dead.
The exchange was, where's Gil? He's still down there. Oh, okay. We'll go get him because I want to ask him. No, you don't understand. He's dead.
Soft playing it with Holloway there, letting him walk himself into that trap back.
He sure did. And then that's when Holloway erases all doubt as to whether he's the bad guy this episode when he says, Gil, dead? Well, I'll have to hire a new superintendent. That is his daughter's fiance he's talking about. Man, what a jerk. So is this when we've already met the Dutchman. But here's what happens. Adam sits down with the Dutchman, and the two of them start talking about how to fix a mine.
And it's too slow. It's too slow. Science is too slow.
It's slow, and boy, they really talk again and again and again about how the Dutchman is not getting his 8 hours of sleep every night while he's trying to figure out how to solve this engineering conundrum. That's a major feature of this episode.
Well, that's a genetic trait of Dutch people, is they have to sleep 8 hours or they can't do mining.
I'm sure you're right. I never heard it, but I'm sure you're right. Well, I'm going to play another clip here. This is the new superintendent comes in to talk to the guys while they're trying to figure out this whole thing. Why am I playing this clip? I'm not sure, except it's a good, it shows us Adam being a mining engineer, and it's a good example of the ways that people get punched out in this television show. Here we
have
go.
You ever considered just playing the full episode and we don't talk, and that's the podcast?
Well, that was my original pitch, but somebody at Earwolf said, no, you can't do that. I don't know why.
Well, all right.
Anyways, now I'm going to
send
Stringer.
I'm going to send all your spouses a box of groceries.
Yeah, right. God damn it. Here we go. Clip.
That is the problem, Adam, and it is increasing every day. The veins of silver grow wider the deeper they go.
I know, and the U-bracing that we use in a narrow stope becomes worthless in a 65-foot wide gallery.
And it is not only the overhead pressure, Adam. There's a constant side pressure as well.
I want to talk to you, Dutchman.
Vertical bracing and cap pieces, certainly. But it would be standing so thick that a man couldn't get through.
I'm in charge now.
We are very busy. And even the tower bracing you suggested.
Listen to me when I'm talking to you. You're going to take orders just like the rest of the men.
But how are you going to get 65-foot timbers down a mine shaft?
And I want you to stay away from the men, hear me? They're down there to work, not to visit with you. And another thing, Dutchman.
I believe in a little formality.
There you go.
Wow.
That's the only way to shut a fella up.
Yeah.
And they keep the Dutch stereotypes going. We see a little bit of the Dutch martial arts with the shoulder, open-handed shoulder pop to get it to open up his cheek, and then he hits him with the right cross.
Transylvanian to me, and it makes me wonder if he's some kind of vampire or something.
Oh, that's an interesting question. Is that Dutchman a vampire? Yeah. It might explain why he's up all hours of the night doing calculations.
Sorry. Right. He would be a little more afraid of 65-foot long pieces of wood, I feel like. It would be almost scary for a vampire.
That's a good point. I think a vampire in his line of work would spend a lot of time saying, well, can't we use metal? Yeah.
Right.
Maybe.
I know there's a lot of good reasons for diversity in TV, but it's really complicated to keep track of a show if you're watching the episode for the first time and everyone is a brunette white man. It's very like when that guy enters, I thought maybe he was Gil back to life or one of the other brothers. Was that Little Joe or Big Joe? Who is this person? And then he's the new supervisor, a character that I forgot mattered.
Yeah, that's the same guy that got poked in the whiskers before. His character name is something like Tar Gallus or something.
Somebody wear a hat.
Yeah.
That's what our family do. We have all the kids and my husband and I, we have different hats that just say, you know, I'm this one of the family. I'm the mom. You can't tell us apart.
That's a good idea. Yep, got to labor yourselves. All right. Then we have a very beautiful scene where Haas comes to talk to the fiance about death and how a simpleton processes death. And he explains, I used to mash my fingers and my mother would kiss him and tell me the pain was all gone. And the pain didn't go away, but all I remember now is my mama kissing it or something like that. I like that he's the injury that Haas used to get all the time was mashing his fingers. I don't know, how do you do that? And then he talks he talks about how he was in love with a girl, and now that was something we saw in a previous episode, and she died. And he says he knows that that his brothers and his father were sorry, but it really helped him to talk to God. Is this the first time we've heard about God on this show?
It might be. Do you think that Haas was mashing his own fingers under boulders and whatnot just so he could get his mama to kiss him a bunch of times?
I wouldn't be surprised.
This is a speech where he says, you gather your catastrophes in life, and then it's good because then you have all these things that you realize there's meaning in suffering.
Yeah, no, I believe that's the Dutchman. The Dutchman says we've got to find a way to explain to this fiance how good it is that her husband died, because your tragedies are something they help you or something.
You keep track of them, which is what I have a new product. It's a necklace with charms, and you can just every time something horrible happens in your life, you get a new charm for it, like melanoma or miscarriage. Or death of a parent, or death of a child.
And you are the little charms representative of that?
Yes.
Like their little picture of a mole?
It's like pretty soon you have a full necklace. I mean, if enough stuff happens to you and you're around long enough, you have a full necklace of just these beautiful silver, sterling silver charms of terrible things that have happened to you that have shaped your life.
Can you imagine the necklace that Tom Sizemore has?
Man, I love the idea of tragedy charms. So you'd never at any time of the day have any moment of not being reminded of the tragedies that have befallen you.
It's truly never forget, but because you've got it as jewelry and bangles.
Wow.
Man, Amy, what's the harpoon gun on your bracelet?
That's my brother. He passed away in a terrible accident. He was on a vacation in Mexico, and he's kind of clumsy. And we said, don't do anything crazy down there. And he they had people telling him, be careful. And he's just a silly goose. And he died.
Oh, yeah. What's the paper shredder one you have?
Is that what that is? A paper? I was wondering about that one. Yeah.
That's a funny one. I mean, not so funny in that it happened to somebody else. But my boss at work, and that's how I had to start being self-employed. I said to her as a joke, put your finger in the paper shredder and, I'm going to turn it on. And she didn't think I was going to turn it on, and then I did. And she lost a finger, and she loved to play the piano. Gosh, it was such a thing for her. She loved to bring a keyboard in and just cheer us all up, but not
That's
anymore.
So sad. Hey, is that one there? Is that juggling pins or bowling pins?
That's bowling pins. Oh, gosh, okay. You guys, that's the thing. You can get anything. So I was at a party once, and I haven't been to a lot of parties, and it was at a bowling alley. And what happened is this little kid, and it was his birthday, and he wanted to be the ball, and he just roll down the thing and crashed in the pins, and he got a concussion that he just couldn't come back from.
Wow. I can't help but notice you've got nearly 100 of those things on, so maybe we could do a recurring segment where we check in with your tragedy charms and account for them. I'd certainly love that. I would.
That's a good idea.
You're allowed to have. Oh, sorry.
It's such a great gift idea for anybody who you know personally, and you say, "Oh my gosh, what's happened to them recently?" Or usually within the past 10 years, you can find something and go, oh, "Right, remember that." And then,
you know what I'd like to do is give someone one, and they'll go, "What's this? A little charm thing of a hammer for?" And I'll say, "It's for this." Clunk.
That's a great idea.
It's a tragedy that hadn't yet happened.
Yeah. There's nothing better than a sharp blow to the head that you don't see coming. That's what I always tell my husband. I don't like it when I know that it's coming, but if I don't know, it's fun.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Man, the image of a little boy going end over end down a bowling alley and crashing into the pins and getting a concussion. And then did the machine come and grab him up? Did it pick him up into
and
wherever the hell
torn.
It goes?
He was torn into a biblical amount of pieces.
Yeah. Was any of them sent through the ball return?
He was sent through the ball return, threw the balls, and it was really, it was kind of a moment of connection for all of us there. Just to know that he died for a purpose, and that was for the love of his family. And that's why I got them. I have this, it's a silver ornament that you can put in your front lawn that just says family in large script.
What a beautiful remembrance. And I hope the owner of the bowling alley sent the family the usual box of groceries.
So,
with some frozen pizza. They also had that. That's what I remembered about that
beer
party. Frozen pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone delicious. At the party got one of the charms. It's sort of like a shared tragedy for everyone that was there.
Sure. Well, only if you order it in time.
Oh, right.
Because it was only like it was a promotion that I was only doing for that week.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hey, back to the episode real quick here. Let's just... Because big thing happens, Targalus, he's talking about how he's busy like a bumblebee, and the talk of bumblebee suddenly gives him a light bulb moment, a honeycomb, and then he designs a model of a new kind of way of timbering a mine that looks nothing like a honeycomb.
No, not at all, nor is it on the same kind of a geometric understanding.
Not in the slightest. It was inspired by a honeycomb, but I would guess I'd say very loosely inspired by a honeycomb.
Yeah. By the end, it just looks like something Mario has to jump over. Like it looks like a Tetris piece. It's literally just two squares. And they're like, yes, just like a honeycomb.
It looks like a shelf system you'd buy at IKEA.
Right.
Yeah.
It can hold Blu-rays.
Well, bees don't know how to make squares, so they're stupid.
Yeah.
They're so dumb.
Yeah, I'm glad they're dying.
But that must have been a time where when the prop master came to him with the model, they said, well, this doesn't look like a honeycomb. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, what's a honeycomb? Must have been a thing like that. But it's
and what's a prop master?
What's a prop master? That's a fellow who makes all the various. But we talked about him that one time when they had to put money in the glass vase at the brothel. Let's hide the money in the see-through glass vase. It was somebody made a mistake. Well, then there's a whole thing where they're trying to get these mining barons to invest in the honeycomb timbering system, and they all laugh at them because it's going to cost too much money, and you know it costs more money than a bunch of boxes of groceries, I tell you that. So they don't want to save anybody. And then we have a moment where Hoss gets mad and he says, I don't like what this woodpecker's saying to you. I never heard woodpecker as an insult before. And then he tells him, you're the biggest flabbermouth liar in the Comstock. He's got a way with words. And
I thought he said flannel mouthed.
Oh, is that what he said? Maybe
it was
he did.
Flannel.
Oh, now what does that mean?
Soft and dry.
Yeah.
A flannel mouth liar?
I thought it was a reference to like gagging yourself during a sex act with sheets or a scarf or like a lumberjack shirt or something.
Oh,
like
that must be.
Oh, that's Saturday night talk.
Amy.
Holy macaroni. Oh, Christian bondage. Well,
tell me about it. That's my life.
Oh, Amy. Oh,
that explains a couple of those charms. Well, now I want to get up to our last clip now. Our last clip is because this episode has, at no time is anybody shot in this episode, which is very disappointing, but at least we get, man oh man, do we ever get a hell of a brawl.
Oh boy.
All right, you ready for the big brawl?
Oh yeah.
This is exciting. Now, this is a brawl where Hoss and the Dutchman have to fight off a whole bunch of miners who are fighting for the right to die under cheap timbering. And this is like, it's, I thought of it today like it's like if the Incredible Hulk and David Banner were fighting together. You know what I'm saying?
You got
a Hulk and a scientist. Well, anyway, here's the big
Dr. Big. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah. That's
we're right. Here to see that they're protected. Take him out there.
Take him out there. Here we go. Thank you.
She's so turned on.
The elevator.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right, break this up. I'm still in charge here.
All right, break it up. I'm still in charge here. What a brawl.
Wow. I like that the gang of miners were like, oh, we're going to a fight? All right, everyone, get your vests and hats on and let's go rumble. They're all dressed pretty similarly and all have visible guns on their hip, yet manage to mostly just sort of like mud wrestle. Like they're kind of, it looked a lot like my dad at Thanksgiving, like wrestling my uncle for the rights to the next shot of Jägermeister or some shit.
Whoa, that sounds pretty good.
Oh. Yeah, that does.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, there's one moment toward the end of the fight where a fella is standing behind Haas, and he just patiently waits his turn to jump on Haas's yeah. back. He's very respectful about it. Well, I won't do it now. He's dealing with those two guys.
Oh, there's right. the etiquette.
Yeah. The camera cuts away anytime Haas has to get from the standing to the ground or vice versa, because I imagine a man of that girth in those pants is not able to just kind of bounce down and back up. So like, it's always like he's standing, he's getting tackled, cut away, because this doesn't look good.
I was wondering about the utility of those cutaways to Helene watching the fight, because you don't learn a lot from her standing there watching the fight. It had to
well,
have been.
You understand what's going on in her body.
Yeah. Yeah, she's getting aroused. These are men. Her husband is, her fiance is dead. She's realizing she might not get married. Not only might not get married, she might not ever see men fight for her love. So watching she's this.
Thinking she's, of all those groceries she's going to get.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that, yeah. And what can happen with groceries, depending on what you get.
Yeah, it's fucked up. Because the head of the mining company, he sends cucumbers, a baguette, eggplant, carrots.
And a dildo.
And a dildo. What's
yeah,
dildo?
He's very in charge of keeping it clear. You know, as we know from his opening exposition, he likes to keep it clear. So he turns the subtext into text by throwing.
Yeah, use the perishable ones first. And then when you're done with those.
The amount of women who have chipped their teeth on dildo soup by accident.
Man, sad. Well, but then a remarkable thing happens where Andrew Holloway, our bad guy up until this moment, suddenly has a change of heart. He's been down to the mine, and he suddenly says, hey, man, we got to put those, whatever, if you want to call it a honeycomb, that's fine. We got to put it down there in the mine, and that's it. And we're all going to do it. And then and then a whole bunch of the mining barons go down into the mine where they've got the honeycomb system is there and the old system is there. And the Dutchman sets off an explosive and he and Adam are going to test out if they will survive in the honeycomb system. And there's a funny moment where all them bastard city slicking goddamn mining barons have to decide, am I going to stand here in the old system or dive under the honeycomb system when this blast goes off? And well, you know what they do. They don't want to die.
I know you didn't bring me on for this context, but it's kind of zeitgeisty that this is about the rejection of science and looking away from science, disregarding safety for individuals and employees, and kind of just powering through for the sake of money. It's kind of
timeless.
It's timeless.
Yes.
That's why I was led to manufacture all my home goods abroad. So that I wouldn't see how the things were made and then or how they got to me. And then it was more like a mystery, a spiritual mystery. And, you know, I wouldn't get caught up in all this stuff of, you know, oh, is an environment being destroyed as a result of all the stuff I'm getting made?
It's worth it. It's worth it. Do you believe? Yeah, I mean, for heaven's sake, and the end of the world or the apocalypse or whatever, that's going to be a wonderful moment, and it can't come soon enough. Isn't that right, Amy? Is that how you feel?
Oh, yeah. Yes, no. That's why it's important to kind of to preempt the apocalypse, to let, try to be more of a sinner and try to do more stuff that's bad, because that will kind of get the ball rolling. Yeah. And then Well, I'll be lifted up.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I know you're supposed to, you get raptured and your clothes stay behind, but will my six gun and belt come with me?
Mm.
Well, I would buy a 3-year protection plan.
Oh, okay.
On it.
Do you have one of those?
Yeah, every time. Yeah, I have protection plans.
Okay, I'll take one.
For the rapture.
Okay, yeah.
A 3-year protection plan for the rapture.
It's $9.99 a month, and yeah, that just comes directly out of your bank account, so you don't even feel it. And okay, then, you know, if you have anything that you left behind, it's insured that it'll be brought to you in heaven.
Oh, great. Okay.
I'm in. Wow, that's great. That's really good. Well, you mentioned we glossed over it here, but when they decide to install the honeycomb system in the mine, that's going to be a one night job, and it is
little 12 inch beams that are probably 10 to 15 feet long.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He says, how are we going to get a 65 foot beam down the mine?
Okay, yeah,
I got you. Well, we got 40 of them down overnight. On this little elevator.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. Yeah, and Little Joe did it. Little Joe did it, and without even once appearing for even a moment on screen in the episode.
How did I get 40 pillows made out of polyester with biblical quotes on them in a week? Wow. It's a miracle.
That is a miracle. Where are they making those pillows?
China.
Okay.
Or Honduras.
Oh, great. Wow, that is a miracle. Man, oh, man. Well, okay, folks, that's the episode. Anybody got any final thoughts on this wonderful episode of Bonanza, the Phyllis Dietesheimer story? And he was an actual historical person who really did these things. He had a mining, timbering solution based on honeycombs. And,
that's right.
Does Bonanza do this Forrest Gump thing a lot? Like, does Bonanza accidentally butt up against cultural touchstones and like moments in history throughout the other episodes?
Yeah, we had like episode 3 or whatever, 5 was Enter Mark Twain, and it was all about how Mark, we got to see the scene where Mark Twain decides that instead of going by the name Josh, he will go by the name Mark Twain. The other choice was Josh.
Josh Twain. It has a nice ring to it.
It does.
I mean, he did a lot of joshing.
I guess that's right.
Yeah.
But there's certain topics that are never covered, like the decimation of the Native American indigenous population.
Yeah, there's certain topics. That's true. They don't get into everything.
Because there's no time.
No, there's no time. They have to talk about these important white figures of history.
57-minute episode. They can't get into all these offshoots that might make it more interesting.
Right.
How many episodes of this show are there?
Well, unfortunately, yeah, they were only able to make 431 episodes, sadly. Yeah.
You're on episode 8, right?
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
I'm just doing the math on watching 420 times.
Adam Cartwright here.
Oh, excuse me.
You've kept up with mathematics, as he says. Well, sadly, we only have 423 episodes left of this show.
And we're going to do recaps, right?
Yeah.
We're going to do recaps of this show. Yeah, that's a good idea. Well, folks, I guess that's about it. Hey, who's got something to plug? You got your Impractical Jokers Body Sushi.
Impractical Jokers presents Body Sushi Swap. And then also, I guess, if we're plugging podcasts, I'm going to be a guest on the Naked Gun Recap Podcast with O.J. Simpson next week. So if you want to check that out. I think it's called Nodberg Knows.
That's going to be great. Yeah. I like that guy. He's just charming. He's got just a personable attitude.
Apparently, he records it all in a golf cart at an open golf course. So that I'm excited to just get, chop it up with a legend like that.
Mm. Beautiful. You're going to have a good time. Okay. Anybody else? Mutt Taylor, anything coming up for you?
Well, you know, a friend of mine got this podcast, what's called Super Ego, and they got season 6, which has heretofore been behind a paywall on Stitcher Premium, but is coming out for free July the 21st. Get it anywhere you listen to podcasts.
That's nice of you to promote a podcast you personally have nothing to do with whatsoever. Amy Slaverson, what's
I want to give a shout out to the Book of Matthew, which is knock and it shall be open to you, but that didn't happen to this week. Sometimes you knock and there's no answer because the person's dead.
Yeah. That's true. All right. Shout out.
Is that crazy?
That is crazy. So you are promoting the Book of Matthew. Get out there and get yourself
a Matthew!
Yeah. I'll just remind you, the tickets are still available for this week. Well, although by the time this episode airs, it will have happened. So I can't plug it because it's in the
past. Boy, was it great.
Tense. Good. Yeah, we had a real good time. All right, folks. Well, that's all there is to it. We've gone and done it. So as we usually do, we try to close these out with, according to Robert's Rules of Parliamentary Procedure, I move that we adjourn the episode. Will anyone second the motion?
I'll second. I second, too.
Those in favor?
Aye.
All right, it's unanimous. The ayes have it. We shall now adjourn this episode of Bananas for Bonanza. So long, folks!
Bananas for Bonanza is brought to you by Andy Daly, with Maria Bamford and Matt Gourley. Theme song by Matt Gourley, with The Journeyman, which in this case are Mark McConville, Daniel Muchikoff, and Wade Ryan. Special thanks to our gang on the ground, Josh Richmond and Shannon Locke. Bananas for Bonanza is produced by Ryan Connor and Matt Gourley, and executive produced by Colin Anderson and Chris Bennett. We'll see you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.